Okay, my name is Faris Al-Nazi, and today we'll be starting a show about Saudi Arabia. And we'll be talking about too many different things about Saudi, like politics, culture, religion, and other things. And our first guest speaker here is Dr. Sue Jameson.
Hello, Faris.
Yes, can you tell us about yourself first?
Well, I teach sociology and women and gender studies at Robert Morris University, and I'm an advisor to a couple of organizations on campus. And I think the reason Faris asked me to talk about Saudi culture, even though I am not a Saudi, obviously, is because I've taught over 250 Saudi students here at Robert Morris.
Great.
Yeah.
I remember on the Saudi National Day, 23rd of September, you were a guest speaker, right?
That's right.
And you gave some numbers about Saudi students you have taught in some classes.
Mm-hmm.
How many Saudi students?
Over 250. Well, and that didn't even count this semester, and I have 17 in my sociology class this semester. So, yeah, the number's growing.
That's great. And so my first question here is, like, we're going to be all about talking about culture.
But I just want to say it was an honor to be asked to speak at Saudi Day, too. And I looked out there and I thought, oh, wow, why am I speaking? And so it really was, it really meant a lot to me. So thank you for asking me to do that.
Thank you for being here. Thank you so much. So my first question is going to be about the Saudi culture in your opinion.
Okay.
It's like, what do you think of it?
What do I think of it? Well, I think that one of the most important things I've learned about Saudi culture by reading. Okay, I used to assign three papers a semester, so a lot of those papers were reaction papers. So students would write personal things, like I think this or I feel this, but the main paper is the Who Am I paper. And the Saudi students, all my students, have to talk about their family, their neighborhood, their friends, their history, basically. And the Saudi students, so I've read probably thousands of papers, but at least 250 Saudi papers answering the question, who am I, from these a cultural standpoint. So I've read about Saudi culture in these papers. Family. I mean, family is what comes through. The first thought that comes to my mind is how important and how close Saudi families are, and how families are important in the U.S. too, real important. But we move away from our families more. We move across the country, and we don't always live in the same neighborhood as our cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents. Sometimes we do, but it seems like in Saudi culture, there's more of a tendency to live in the same location, sometimes in the same house. And when you have a get-together, which is not just on holidays, which happens sometimes in the U.S., but it happens every week. And dinners and parties and dancing and music. And that's the other thing about the culture. Because I've gone to all the Saudi days, dancing and music are very important.
Yeah.
And enjoying one another's company. And I just, the way my Saudi students write about their family, they write how much they respect them and how much they miss them. And being so far away from home and not being able to go home on holidays, on your Islamic holidays, and missing those important religious holidays and missing your family is got to be very hard. And a lot of my students talk about that. Or I have had students write in their paper, they were here for school, and maybe one of their family members died, you know, an uncle or a grandparent. And it's so sad to me that my students can't be there. So I really feel that from them, number one, is the importance of family.
Yeah, that's cool. So
do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that.
And you've seen U.S. Oh, I'm going to start interviewing you now. I'm not supposed to do that,
fine.
Am I?
I'm from Saudi, and I know, like, most of the things you have said is true. And it's just like sometimes I don't see lots of Americans know all this about Saudis, especially about the places, the north and the south and the east and the west. It's like a lot, it's all different. Even sometimes the Islamic religion is different in the west and the north. So, yeah, you know, It's like a lot of things outside of you. That's why it's like just.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure I deserve that compliment, but the culture, that's what I know about the culture. And also, go ahead. I'm going to let you ask. Okay, I could go on and on.
It's fine.
You have to stop me.
I know many people here have read articles and talked to people. They have some misunderstandings about Saudi Arabia and the people from Saudi.
Yeah.
What do you think the misunderstandings, what's the most big misunderstanding you think is?
I one thing I think is, and this is true of different groups on campus. So if you take African Americans on campus, groups tend to congregate with other people they're comfortable with. And so one of the hopes for having international students on a college campus is that American students will learn about your culture and you'll learn our culture, and that we'll integrate and grow from that knowledge and expand our, you know, social networks, but expand our knowledge of people so we can understand one another better, which is important for us, you and me as human beings, but I think it's important for the world and for what I would wish would be world peace. And I know that's a dream. I know I don't think we'll ever have world peace, but the more you get to know somebody, the less you're afraid of them or think they're strange or different. And I think the misunderstanding is that because some Saudis speak, have very good English skills, others not as much. And I notice a lot of my Saudi students will speak really, really quietly. And it may be because I'm old and I'm getting hard of hearing, but I always say, what did you say? I want to know what they said. But they talk very quietly, I think, because they're insecure about their language skills. I totally get that. If I went to Saudi Arabia and had to speak Arabic to my professor, I would probably speak quietly and haltingly because it's not my native language. So I think it stops Saudi students sometimes from speaking to American students because they think that the American students maybe will laugh, maybe will not understand them, and you know, that's a barrier. And so then it sets up a wall. And so American students might think, well, Saudi students really don't want to talk to us. They don't really want to get to know us because I'll say hi and they'll just say hi and keep moving, or they won't make an effort to get to know me. Like to walk up and say, hi, I'm Ferris. What is your name and what's your major or something, you know? And at this age group, the college students aren't real comfortable doing that. But so I think there's a misunderstanding about the friendliness of Saudi students. And I think there's a misunderstanding the other way, that maybe some Saudi students don't think American students are real accepting and open to being friends with them because of the differences. And that's very sad to me. That's why I like Saudi Day.
And this comes to mind when, it's like I have a lot of meetings in the university about how do we have bonds between international students and Americans. And you have mentioned this now, and it's a big misunderstanding, actually. But I mean, how do you think, and this is a big question, like we have been, it's like trying to solve this and trying to increase the bonds between it's like international students and American students in the campus. And in your opinion, what do you think the best solution for this problem, if it's a problem?
It's somehow getting people to talk to each other, which is hard to do. I think it's almost like you have to try to force it in some way. Here's one thing that just came to my, I pictured. What, you know, at Saudi Day, where I don't know how many of American students came to Saudi Day, but there could have been more. I always will say that. And I think if they would see you in that way with your families and your friends and dancing and the food and being so friendly at all the tables. So what if you had a table in the cafeteria or a table in the hallway and you had some kind of literature, again, like not a Saudi Day, but just you have a Saudi club. Yeah. And the clubs do that all over campus. They have tabling. And it's just to reach understanding. Or maybe come to this table and learn how to say assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
Or what does that mean?
That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
We should be doing this. Yeah.
Have a table with three or four Saudis,
maybe the
male
other.
And female, maybe, or whatever anybody's comfortable with. And just, but then you have to kind of like say, hey, come over here and get something to eat, you know? Have candy or something.
Yeah, and maybe like write some, your name in Arabic, or like, I'm stealing
ideas.
Yeah,
I love the
you.
Arabic, writing the name in Arabic. I love that.
Yeah, we used to have an Arabic class.
And the food and the coffee and the tea, all that is awesome.
You mean the Arabic food and tea?
All of that.
It's great.
Oh my gosh, those desserts.
Okay, are you excited to go to Saudi?
Yes, I am. I have never been to the Middle East.
And why?
I have never been, I've never been to Turkey. I've never been to that part of the world.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, now you have that lots of students. You have lots of people to go to, right? Right?
Yes, yes.
So what's the main reason you think you want to go to Saudi? What's the thing you want to see?
I probably have misconceptions too. Not probably, I know I do. I know, I mean, I've looked online, I've seen videos produced by Saudis about their culture and so forth. And so I know what a developed city it is. It's a very modern, cosmopolitan city. You know what I mean by that? It's just like thriving. And your culture is changing.
Yeah.
And intentionally changing.
It's like now women drive and...
Movie theaters, right?
Yeah.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see that in transition. It'd be cool because there's also the history, which is so deep, and the with the religion and the history of Saudi Arabia, and then see the modern Saudi Arabia, you know? Because I've read about the history. Don't ask me any deep questions about the history, But the Middle East is obviously a very important part of the world, and there's a lot of conflict too.
Yeah.
So the Middle East is always in the news, and it would just be an interesting place to see because it is so different.
Yeah, it's one of the sad sides of the Middle East. It's like always problems and conflict. So.
Yes.
But I mean, now it's getting better. Like now in Saudi Arabia, there is part of the Saudi vision. Is to have like all people from all over the world coming to the Saudi, and in the past
that will increase understanding.
Yeah,
totally.
I mean, in the past, getting the visa is like too hard to Saudi. Now if it's for visiting. Now with the it's like part of the Saudi Vision 230. It's like now you can get your visa in 1 hour. It's like
wow.
If you apply just like in 1 hour, you will get the visa. And
wow.
It includes even like Umrah if you are a Muslim, if you want to go there and just do Umrah, which is like mm-hmm. going to Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
You can just apply from the website.
Have you been to Mecca?
Yeah, I've been to Mecca.
It's like, I'm going to start interviewing you again. You have to stop me.
I do love the place. I do love it. It's like a religion thing. So once we go there, we always like feel comfortable. And you'll see like millions of people.
Are non-Muslims allowed to go to Mecca?
No, this is the thing. In the religion, it's forbidden to go to Mecca if you're not Muslim. Just like Mecca and Medina, so mm-hmm. two places. But I mean, you can go to other places.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. And any last words you want to say?
Well, that's the second thing I've learned from my students is how important Islam is to them. And that's tied up with family, too. In the U.S., and I don't know if this is true in your generation, but I know there's parts of Islam that are really conservative, and then there's parts of Islam or parts of the country that are less conservative and less strict. And that's true in the U.S. with Christianity and other religions, too. There's more strict, and then there's more religions that give you more freedom. And where was I going with that? I wanted to ask you something. Oh, so the millennial generation, Gen Z, the younger generations, are going away from religion in the U.S. Like church membership has dropped, and a lot of students now say, because they say that in their papers as well, and I've taught thousands and thousands of students, and they all have to write that paper and tell me, what is your religion? And a lot of them go into it deeply. And tell me all about it, how they were raised Catholic, but they've lost their faith, and they don't even believe in God. And some of them believe in God, but they don't believe in organized religion.
Mm.
So I'm wondering if that's happening at all with the younger generation in Saudi, because it doesn't seem like it is from the way my Saudi students write about religion. They write about it as that's one of the most important things to them, as well as their family, is Islam.
Hmm. I really can't answer the question because it's too complicated.
Yes.
And but I mean, I think our culture is based on the religion. It's like sometimes we don't wear some clothes because it's forbidden and it's not cool. Like if you talk about the culture, because like if my father sees me wearing it's like a short,
yeah,
he's gonna be like, "Hey, what are you doing? You know, like, we have the traditional clothes, the thobe and the shmagh, and why are you wearing something else?" You know, so I think it's like related to each other. So when it comes to like getting about from the religion, I think it's too hard to like.
I agree do with this. You. It's very complicated, but I do know that even that some of the students I have today are more progressive in their thoughts, and they feel more free to say what they think than probably your father's generation.
Yeah.
I mean, your generation seems to me to be changing Saudi culture today.
It is.
Yes.
I mean, especially with changing the laws, like with women driving.
Women driving.
Now
yes.
We are accepting to see like a woman driving in the street more than in the past.
And not and being allowed to work without asking permission.
Yeah, and so King Faisal, it's like a couple years ago, he opened schools for women. And in the beginning, they couldn't accept this easily. Mm-hmm. But I mean, during time, now 55% of women are going to school and only 45% of men going to school. Mm-hmm. So now it's like women go to school more than men in Saudi. And they graduate and they have big positions. You know, now the in the United States, we have a woman representing us. I forget her name. I think it's Reema or something.
So yeah, I know who you mean. I can't think of her name either.
So it's changing.
There's more women in the U.S. going to college than men, too. So it's kind of a trend that's happening in the
world.
What's
happening to us?
And I don't think it's necessarily good. I mean, I've had more male Saudi students than female. I've probably had 20 female Saudi students.
Yeah?
Yeah, out of those 250 plus, yes.
Yeah, because in the past, women couldn't
right.
go to the United States without
yes.
It's like some guy with her. But I mean, now, it's one of the changes we had is this. Like now, women can travel all over the world without even permission from anyone.
Yes, and so that's one of the things I'm especially interested in. Because I teach women in gender studies here, too, and it's about women's rights, and I've seen the change in Saudi Arabia.
What do you think of it?
I love it. Probably 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I asked all my Saudi students who were then men, do you think that women will eventually be able to drive in Saudi Arabia? And every single one of them, and there were like 20, said absolutely. And I said, do you approve of that? And they said, absolutely. And I approve of women having more freedom. So your generation seems to be changing all of that, which is why I like students, why I like being around your age of students, because you are going to change it even more. And progress is what we need. And culture, as you've learned in sociology, always changes. Your culture's changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm proud of the changes.
Where do you see Saudi Arabia in like 5 years?
Five?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Because we have a vision like 2030, we're going to be like having lots of changes. And
well, all of the young Saudis, men and women, who are now being educated in the West, you know, in Europe and in the U.S., are going to be coming back. And I see a lot of growth, because you're all educated now, and you've also experienced other cultures and interacted with all kinds of people and found your way around, learned language, challenged yourself. That, to have so many, do you know how many Saudis are studying in the U.S.? Like 100,000 or something?
No, it's like 300,000.
Yes. All of those people, most of them will go back. And that culture and that is going to just infuse Saudi Arabia with talent, I think. So I think there's going to be a lot of growth.
Yeah, it is.
What do you think?
I think now we have, so like It's like King Salman and his son, Mohammed bin Salman. And we are so proud of them because the thing now, even universities, even American universities can go and open in Saudi Arabia. And so it's like universities in Saudi Arabia are now like becoming more independent. Like they can open majors and see. It's like even the ranking of the university are like now increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we're really proud of this. And you see Saudi Arabia in 5 years are becoming more. It's like, I think it's going to be better. I can't just explain everything, but I mean, I think it's going to be better. And this
so
is
the future is bright, is what you're saying.
Yeah, this is what I love about my country now. And this is why I'm so excited to go back, because now I have big dreams. And in Saudi Arabia, I couldn't do them because I didn't have the knowledge or like the experience. But now, when I came to the United States, and experienced working with the clubs and organizations and professors, and I got some like experience here. Now I can go back with experience, with language, with
being a leader,
different cultures,
right?
Yeah, and being a leader. So I think I'm so excited to go back. That's everything for today. Today's episode was about culture with Dr. Sue Jameson. And I'll see you next episode. Faisal Anazi. And I'm going to call the show. Before we end, what do you think I should name the show? Because I wanted to name it.
Fun with Faris.
Fun with Faris? Okay, let's go.
No, I don't know.
I was going to be calling
oh,
it.
Like if I needed more time to think about that. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. For now, the show name is Faris Show. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Faris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.